with great joy in our hearts, because this time of year is so filled with opportunity to express it and to receive it. Lord, as we consider this subject this morning and we consider your word, we once again ask that you would give it great meaning, meaning for us personally, corporately, Lord, and as a people in our minds, as we put on the mind of Christ, that our hearts would be filled with joy, the joy of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Merriam-Webster's defines joy as a feeling of great happiness, a source or cause of great happiness, something or someone that gives joy to someone, success in doing or finding or getting something. Joy is something that eludes many of us at various times, and so finding joy is really a big deal. This type of year really is somewhat of a double-edged sword, because from childhood memories, possibly good childhood memories, there's this sense of expectation and wonder, and we tell the story over and over again. And as an adult, you come to realize the fuller impact of the life and ministry of Jesus. And so it takes on new and powerful meaning. But initially, it's just joy. It's joyfulness. It's excitement, you know? I mean, just to see a kid on Christmas morning. I mean, they should have rent-a-kids that you could go pick up if, like, you're an older couple and you don't have any grandkids, you know? They would drop them off for Christmas morning, and you get to watch them open up their presents, and that's it. That's what I wanted to see, because kids are so wonderful. They make it everything, you know? And I can remember getting older as a kid. I mean, before then, it's, you know, the lights come up on the Christmas tree. You get to put them all on. I was back from the day when they had, you know, 250-degree burning lamps, you know, that would scar your hand. But you'd always be able to, you know, talk to your parents and say, do you think I could sleep under the tree tonight? The best ever. And then all of a sudden, you hit a certain age, and they're giving you shoes and corduroy pants and a sweater, and really, no, thanks a lot for the socks. This has been a real, now it's my favorite gift. You know, when they ask me, what do you want? I want some really nice socks. But we expect joy at this time of year, and when it's not met, all of a sudden we find ourselves disappointed because we've been looking in the wrong places. Now, this is something that we know, but things don't always, as you get older, you realize that things don't always satisfy, do they? They can look shiny. You can desire them when I heard one pastor say, he said, you spend the first half of your life trying to get everything that you want, and then you spend the second half of your life trying to give it away. Because you find out that there's a double-edged sword here that says, listen, this may provide some type of temporary enjoyment, or I'll be able to use this for further experiences, but they never fully satisfy. I know everyone here in this room has seen the movie A Christmas Story. Who hasn't seen the movie? It's a little kid named Ralphie who wants a Red Ryder BB gun. Who hasn't seen the movie? All right, get to moving. You know, you need to catch up, because you're just the only like four people here, probably in Albuquerque, that haven't seen it. But it's a story of a family. They're getting ready for Christmas, and dad's excited, and he's waiting for the turkey to come along, and they're decorating, and he is fixated on a Red Ryder BB gun. And I can understand that. That was my first weapon, and I still have one by the fireplace today. It was replaced by the TV, but the Red Ryder BB gun was there, just in case. You never know. And so, Ralphie wrote an article for his teacher, a report on what he wanted for Christmas. And he told her all of the things that she needed to know about how special this gun was. And the response was, B+, you'll shoot your eye out. So the next adult he talks to says, hey, come on, kid, you'll shoot your eye out. His mother's like, you're going to shoot your eye out. Everyone kept saying that. And so Christmas Day came around, and they were opening up their presents, and he got some cool things, but he was a little bit sort of disappointed, but thankful. The whole flurry of activity had started to slow down, and so Dad reaches back behind the Christmas tree and says, I think we might have forgot something. I think Santa left one more thing, and it's for you, Ralphie. And so he pulls it out, and it was a Red Ryder BB gun. And his face was full, absolutely full of joy. I mean, it's one of those expressions that parents live for, you know? That's why you give the kid the wrong gift, because you just want to see that reaction. You want to bring joy to them. So he immediately puts his cowboy hat on, runs out into the snow in the backyard, pulls the gun out, cocks it, shoots, and the BB hits a flat object, comes back, and breaks his glasses. In his mind, he kept saying, I shot my eye out, I shot my eye out. That's the problem with things. It doesn't, you know, they're not necessarily consistent in that way, especially concerning biblical joy. Fame, you know, you think, well, not all of us here are trying to be rock stars. Have you heard, I don't know if you have, it's a new thing out, it's called social media. Have you heard of, there's a smartphone, I have a dumb phone, it flips open, and it doesn't know what to do. But the smartphones, I mean, everybody's on them all the time. And all you have to do to become famous, excuse me here, is to do this, click, and if you do it right and you send it to the right places, you can become famous for nothing. And people pursue it. And eventually it will end in emptiness. Money, you know, money is really handy, wouldn't you say? Can you say amen to that? Money's really handy, but money can take over your life. You know, I've always heard the phrase, money talks. It talks to me. It says, bye. Take care. Good luck with all of that. Power, there's no joy there. Even acceptance of fear appears. But joy, I believe, scripturally we see, and experientially, is joy is found in relationships and experiences within those relationships and people that we have experiences with. You see, think about babies and children. They bring us so much joy. Can anybody say amen to that? Children bring us so much joy. Amen? Okay, I just tricked you into that. That's not true. They're trouble. No, I'm joking. Do you remember the first time you go to a maternity ward and you see your child for the first time? It's just inexpressible joy and terror all at the same time. Because now you realize you're responsible for someone. But that's what makes it so perfect. Even more perfect being a grandparent at Christmas time. Because it's a time where you're able to see actual, visible joy on another person. It's like almost a guarantee. Another place within relationships that bring us great joy is good friends. Good friends. The kind of friends that you can sit around with and laugh and share stories and talk about nothing. And it's the whole time is this complete feeling of joy and just honor and humility to be in a relationship like this. I love it. But at the same time, there's also great joy from brothers and sisters in the Lord. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, they bring so much joy to you. And if you haven't really experienced that, you're really missing out. I have been very fortunate in the people that I work with to have some of the best people, best friends, because you don't always get out and socialize as much as you want to. But to have the opportunity that I have, I just want to be thankful to this fellowship to take my brown bag lunch or snack around in the kitchen or go off to some restaurant and bring it back. And we love sitting together and talking about our lives and our childhood and what God's doing. It's just a great great, joyful thing. And it was meant to be. Even I would say, you know, that possibly dogs could bring you joy. Although I question that because there's a new show on Netflix called 7 Days Out. Any of you heard of Netflix? It's coming to Albuquerque. Get a smartphone or whatever you need to do. Figure it out. So they show these big events that are taking place, and every detail that takes place before the event happens, and it's just absolute mayhem. Well, they had one of their episodes on the Westminster Dog Show, and the fanaticism behind all of these people. And I used to look at them, and I thought, those people are absolutely out of their minds. And I'm looking at it now, and I'm going like, you know, maybe I should get a dog and go to that dog show. It looks like a lot of fun. Even something as so loving and simple as a dog in relationship and experience can bring you great joy. Philippians chapter 1, verse 4. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love for my joy and my crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. Thessalonians 2:9 says, for what is our hope, our joy, our crown, in which we will glory in the presence of the Lord Jesus when he comes? Is it not you? Recalling your tears, I long to see you, it says in Timothy, so that I may be filled with joy. In writing to Philemon, he says, your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people. 2 John chapter verse 12, I have much to write to you, but I do not want to use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to visit and talk with you face to face so that our joy may be complete. There is so much out there available to us, even in trying times, if we understand where to look. When you're fishing, the most important thing to do is to put the hook where the fish is. And that's the biggest, hardest thing to do, is to find the bait in the hook and get it to where the fish is, because you don't always know that. But you have good indicators, and the better you get at it, the more you understand where to look. And when it comes to our joy, we can be floating around saying, there's no fish over here, there's nothing to do, I can't find it anywhere. But if you begin to look, you know that it'll be found within a friendship, it'll be found within a person, a brother or sister that you know, that you engage in life. And out of that comes joy. Joy and refreshment and help and much needed help. And so if you're finding yourself being away from people and you say, I don't have a lot of joy, you might want to start looking in the right places. The right places are right around you, right around in this room. You know, if you look around this room, none of you have enemies here. I mean, think about being in a place where you have exactly no enemies, that you could walk up to almost anybody and say, hey, I could use prayer. And the person would say, absolutely, I'd love to pray for you. $10, but I'll do it, you know. It's fine with me. You don't have that. Take joy in that. That is something that has been provided to us by God. And then there's obviously our relationship with Jesus, God the Father, and the Holy Spirit. Listen to this. Therefore, if you have any encouragement for being united with Christ, we're reading this again, if any comfort from his love, any common sharing in the Spirit, any tenderness or compassion, then make my joy complete. Jesus said in John chapter 15, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's command and remain in his love. Get this. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Jesus has promised that the believers in the first century and beyond would be persecuted for their faith. In this world, you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world, okay? Now, add to that, he says, but I come that you might have joy and that your joy would be complete or fully experienced to the fullest without comparison. And it was noted in the early Christian community that was exactly the attitudes and the response and the product of the life of the early believers. Being persecuted, being thrown into lions' dens, being hunted throughout the land, and yet they had great overflowing joy because they had a real relationship with God. You see, there's something tangible there that is not always easy to put your finger on. It's not always easy to explain. But once you experience the presence of the Lord, it cannot be forgotten and will not be. That's the joy of being connected to God. It's sort of like being a light bulb your whole life, setting in a drawer. And you didn't know that your life was boring. You didn't know that your light didn't have any, you know, spark to it. And then someone comes along and puts you into a light socket and turns it on. And all of a sudden, you're bright and shining. And you knew it, never knew it was that possible before. That's what it's like within the believer's life to be connected to God. So if this year you find yourself, okay, you find yourself alone at Christmas, maybe you're just getting together with one or two friends and you're feeling kind of bad, hey. Don't feel too bad. Look at all those beautiful lights that go up in during Christmas time. You are one of those lights because of Jesus Christ. And he's with you. His Holy Spirit will empower you. And he can make it so meaningful for you. There's no reason to feel alone at this time of year. 1 Peter 1:8. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy. Inexpressible and glorious joy. You say, well, wait a minute, Dave. It's not that easy. You know, you can make it sound good. Nobody gets to talk while you're talking. You know, it sounds like you're making the argument. You're really doing something here. But the truth is, there is a way of producing joy. And we find this in the second part of verse 2 and 3 in Philippians. Then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in the Spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. He gives us a few do's here. He says, be like-minded. Now, that's kind of hard to do. I mean, I've been married for 29 years. Being like-minded with the same person has not always been the most easy thing, you know? It's not that simple, it's hard to boil that down. But what he's speaking of is like-mindedness and unity of spirit within the body of Christ. That there are no enemies here. We're being like-minded. We trust in the Lord. We believe in the Lord. We study his word. We worship him. We live in community with other people. And we pray and give honor. Be like-minded in that sense, not to break up the good stuff that's going on. You notice that? Sometimes things are going on really good, and it just seems like something shows up out of nowhere to ruin it, you know? Like a rock through the window. Hey, that was a nice looking window. What are you talking about here? Boom, glass through the window. Ruins everything. It seems like something like that is waiting to come along. That's why he says we have to work hard to be like-minded so that joy would not be unbroken, but be more unified and more powerful and strong. Having the same love, which is Christ-like love, agape love, love that is self-sacrificing, and being of one mind. Being of one mind. He now says that there are a couple of things we should stop or do not do or avoid. He says, do nothing out of selfish ambition. Selfish ambition. You know, in a crowd of humble people, selfish ambition is pretty easy to spot. because it makes a mess, doesn't it? It makes a really, really, really big mess. Nor vain conceit. Because if you have a like-minded group of people who says, well, we're here to worship the Lord, all of us have feet of clay, and the metaphor is that we're folks who it's hard for us to point the finger at everyone because we understand in humility our own need for God. So when someone out of the ordinary expresses, I'm going to be vain and conceited, you know, I'm going to push myself forward. I'm going to promote me. You spot it. And it breaks that community. It breaks that unity. So does selfish ambition. Well, look at verse 3b, sustaining joy. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. This is joy for the long haul. See, rather, humbly value others above yourself, not looking to your own interest. That means everybody, the interest of others. And that's where we find joy, I believe. That's where we find joy. That's why we like kids at Christmas. That's why we want them around when it's time to open a package, because they're able to simply, with simple faith, accept and be happy about getting something that was so amazing. And that's what we get as believers on Christmas, is this gift of God himself, this gift of Jesus. And if you're looking for joy in that direction, it's overwhelming, and you receive it, and there's so much there. At our house, because we want our gifts to be really meaningful, we draw names. Actually, it's because we're cheap, so that's the main reason. But nobody wants to say that. But because of that, all of us spend time trying to analyze and talk to the other people. What do you think? What do they want? What are they looking for this year? What do they need? And when you finally figure out the perfect gifts that you know that you can still get that reaction of, oh no, I can't believe it, and they feel blessed and they're overjoyed, all of a sudden your joy is increased in a profound way. That's what we live for. I mean, if you're given gifts, let me just give you some help here. If you're given gifts because you feel obligated, like, oh yeah, I got to give so-and-so a gift, and yeah, I got to give this other person a gift at the office. Let me give you some joy advice. Don't give them the gift. Don't buy it. You'll feel so much more joy, you know, as opposed to when you buy a stupid gift that you don't like and you're like, yeah, here it is. It's a thing. I got in one of those piles over at the department store that said $5 on it, and I've done my duty, you know. There's no joy in it. It's not like you're proud to go, well, I mean, it's an off smell of candle, but I know that you're going to love it, you know. No. Take joy and don't give the gift. Only give the gift to those that God wants you to and that your heart is for. And you do it out of the joy of your heart, not the obligation of the season. You see, we're still looking for that excitement. And the excitement that the early believers had, and as you do today, is realizing that Jesus loves us and that he's come to save us and to be our king. And that's so liberating to the world. And may that joy be found by every one of us here through this season. Romans 15, 13 says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I'll end with this. I am not a big acronym person, especially Christian acronyms. So when I tell you this one, know that it was hard for me to share it with you publicly, but it's so good I can't pass it up. You see, joy is the culmination of the season of Advent. It's like hope being put into a pot, peace being stirred into the pot, togetherness and brokenness, and love, agape, being poured in. And what does it produce? Joy. The best Advent soup ever. So here's the acronym, JOY. Jesus, others, and you. Jesus first. Take your joy in Jesus Christ. Take your joy in the presence of others and give them joy. And let yourself experience it in this world. That's it. I pray that this is enough for us to begin to really have joy for our Christmas. You got to look for it, you got to be ready for it, and you got to be ready to give it. Father, as we now turn our hearts to your table, we want to ask you, Lord, to forgive us of our sins, the things that we've done that are not pleasing in your sight, that don't match up with the character and nature of you and your people. We ask for forgiveness and ask that you would cleanse us and restore us. Then, Lord, for the things that we've left undone, the things that you've called us to do, but we have been disobedient, we haven't done them. We pray that you'd forgive us and give us an opportunity to continue to do so. We do this every time we come to your table, and we come most gratefully because of your goodness, Lord, and how undeserving we are. But yet we so long for it, we receive it with great joy and humility. In Jesus' name, amen. For those of you who are visiting with us,